Welcome to the EchoCast episode 151. Let's talk Gamescom. I am Morgan, aka Bond Diesel, and this is a podcast about gaming, gaming news, all gaming platforms, and technology in general from the perspective of a lifelong nerd and now gaming father. Please take a moment to subscribe to and rate the podcast on whatever platform you are listening to it on. Comments on the YouTube video, retweets on Twitter, and iTunes reviews are most helpful. If you're joining me live here on Twitch, bits, subs, donos, whatever, go nuts. But that's up to you. I do reinvest quite often, so next up is probably monitors, because mine are going out. Also, be sure to let me know if you have any questions or topics for the next show by replying to Twitter in the YouTube comments or by becoming a Patreon. Thank you to this month's Patreon supporters, Hassan, Christian, Darren, Tim, PK, Manmade Golf, Lunchbox, and Dale. If you would like to support this podcast and my other content, please check out patreon.com/bondiesel. This episode, we are going to talk about Gamescom announcements, Halo's release date, Destiny 2 DLC, Psychonauts 2 release, Ubisoft Star Player stuff, The Division rantings and other updates, some content updates, listener questions, and more. So we'll jump right into the Gamescom announcements. So I'm not going to go over every single announcement because that would take as long as Gamescom did, an entire week. Instead, I am going to pick out some of the things I thought were interesting and talk about those. The first thing being Halo Infinite has a release date. The release date now is December 8th of 2021 after a year's delay from last year after they did their, I think it was the E3 show. In the reaction to the Halo single player was less than probably what they were hoping for. I suspect they were hoping for a more of a positive reaction to that, and they subsequently delayed it. They've actually done a really good job, I think. Every month since then, mostly, they've been doing these updates where they kind of talk about the progress in the game. It has like screenshots from the game, a big long explanation of things that they're working on and their concepts. And then it like always has an interview with multiple devs, and then some final updates. It's been a really transparent, really cool process if you've paid attention to it. So Halo Infinite, December 8th. This has been a topic for 5 or 6 years now, this game. So now it's actually coming. They also announced a special Elite 2 controller that looks really dope and is about $150 more than I will ever pay for a controller, but it looks really cool. And if someone has that extra dough, then good for them. They also released, and you can already get, I think, the Elite and this, a special edition Series X and just a regular Series X controller that has some Halo spin on it. And the console looks really good. It's got kind of like a star thing going on the top half of it, and then kind of like a mechanical, kind of cool looking Halo design. It's very sleek. It's not all of the other Halo Xboxes were like olive drab, like military, kind of looked like a tank kind of a thing. This one looks much more kind of spatial and things like that. It's really cool. So I'm very excited about this. I love Halo. I really like the Halo story and single player. I haven't been super into the multiplayer in a really long time because I'm getting old, and I don't think I can really hang like I used to, but we will certainly try. So the big elephant in the room still is they've shown a bunch of multiplayer, and that's been received extremely well. They've shown you know, they've shown a lot of stuff, but they haven't shown the single player gameplay again ever since the kind of the Forbidden announcement they did back when. So, yeah, we'll have to see. I suspect they're going to do that right before the game drops, probably in late November or early December. I hope maybe they're just polishing things and they don't want to show it until it's like basically exactly done. I'm still in the weird camp that didn't think the game looked that bad last year. It just looked like an Xbox One game. That would probably look a little better on Series X, as a lot of games that have been coming out this year and probably next year will be, until we make that full jump to next gen only games. These games are all going to be a little bit held back by the old systems. Either way, I'm super excited. I've heard so many good reviews of the multiplayer flight kind of test that from people who are typically pretty down on Xbox and down on Halo and such. So to hear people, you know, that I didn't expect to say good things about it makes me really excited for that part of the game. And then myself, the bits of CGI trailers and cutscenes that they've shown from the single player so far, especially with like Cortana the new Cortana and things like that, just has me really pumped. So this was a cool announcement. It actually came during Jeff Keighley's part of the show of Gamescom, and not the Xbox showcase. The Xbox showcase ended up being kind of boring. There were some cool announcements, which we'll talk about. But the Xbox show definitely suffered because Keighley convinced them to put their coolest stuff on his show. So for everyone who was kind of down on the Xbox show, it seems like they kind of made up for it on the on Keighley's. The second big announcement that was really exciting for me, and probably not for many other people, was State of Decay 2 is receiving another pretty big DLC drop. It's called Homecoming. And what it is it's taking you back to the map from the first game. There is a mode, there's a single player story mode you can play in State of Decay 2 that has like a small part of that old map. But what this is it's a full reimagining of that original map with that story taken into account. So in that story, there is basically this thing called the Plague Wall, I think, that came up where basically the disease that's caused the zombies or the undead or whatever in State of Decay 2 like gained mass and created this like wall around this town, and you were in the town, you had to basically bust through it and get out. And so this map that they're releasing for State of Decay 2 is that place, but more of it after the events of that mode. So you'll see like the plague wall, like all disheveled and broken down and things that happened in that story. I'm really excited about it. This is rumored to be the final update for State of the K2, like major content update. I'm sure they'll do other like quality of life stuff and bug fixing, but this should be the last big update for State of Decay 2 until State of Decay 3, which has only been teased with one CGI trailer last year. That wasn't any gameplay. It was literally just the CGI thing. So, what I'm really hoping is that State of Decay 3 is going to keep some of the feel and the overall overarching ideas of 2, but to really refine the gameplay and the storytelling, to maybe focus some of those things a bit more, the graphics and things like that. State of Decay 1 and 2 were both chiefly developed independently, and then Xbox bought Dead Labs, I think, is the studio, right, like literally, I think it was like a week before State of the K2 came out. And obviously their influence and funding has helped State of the K2 receive, I would argue, the most support that any game has ever received post launch. I understand State of the K2 isn't a super popular game. It's kind of a niche, you know, or a niche, or I don't know how you say it. But I just it's a bummer that it's not more popular, because their communication with their audience, their dedication to fixing the game and expanding it, is, I'm not involved or interested in any game that's done it any better. If The Division got this kind of support and transparency, it would blow everyone's mind in that community. And for State of Decay, it's just kind of the way it is. They're very, they're almost kind of spoiled, if you look at it from the perspective of another game community. So the State of Decay 2, this homecoming, so it has the big new map. They're adding like 10 or 10 plus new weapons, some new equipment. The new map is going to have some story content in it that you have to unlock and find and do. It sounds like it's going to be much more focused story-wise. My guess is it's going to try to connect to the next game, to State of Decay 3, is my guess. Bunch of quality of life updates, and it releases on September 1st, so here in a couple days. So as I try to get a little bit more active on Twitch and stuff again, this will probably be a thing I play. I know that if I fire up Division on stream, I'll get people to come and hang out and do our thing. But I will probably not be having a good time, at least not for now. So there's going to be that mix of me playing things that I think people will watch and come and hang out for, and playing things that I actually want to play. So I can balance that with doing it on my own as well. So we will see. But State of Decay 2 homecoming update on the 1st, here in a couple of days. Very exciting. Okay, some of the other announcements is Xbox Cloud on the Xbox One, One S, and One X coming this holiday. That's a really big deal, with how hard it is to find the One X or the Series X or the Series S. What this means, it may sound stupid initially, like who cares about the Xbox Cloud on these old systems? Why would you have a cloud on a console? It doesn't make any sense. And for the Series S and X, I think it is kind of weird. The main advantage there is I think that they may work in a system where if you buy a game, or if you're downloading it through Game Pass, you'll probably be able to start the game up immediately through the cloud and play it that way. And then once it downloads, you can come off and then log on to the downloaded version, which will obviously have higher fidelity and controls and all that. And because of cross save and because of the one system solution, you'll be able to jump right back on where you left off from the cloud. So that's actually pretty cool, I think. But for the old systems, that's a big deal. So that basically means if you have a One, a One S, or a One X, you will be able to play games that come out and are next-gen exclusive. You'll play them through the cloud, and it won't be as good as it would be to play it on your hardware, but it's a solution. And especially for games that maybe aren't going to be real twitchy or real reflexy, single-player games and stuff like that, you can have a 1S and play the next Senua's Sacrifice game in 2 or 3 years when it comes out. At good fidelity, and especially by then the cloud will probably be even better, so quality wise so I think that's really cool. I think it's a really big deal because it's basically Xbox offering a way for people to not get left behind on their old hardware, and get to play all the new stuff. And it's essentially them saying, you don't have to buy new stuff. You can use the old stuff. Now, what I think that leads to is you play it through the cloud and it's pretty good and it looks okay. But you really like it and you're like, oh man, okay, I want to play this the right way. And then you go buy a Series X because that's what they really want you to do. So that's coming this holiday. They announced the Saints Row reboot. It looks interesting to me because it looks more grounded. I didn't like the old Saints Row games because they were just too silly for me. I'm like such a old grandpa, like yelling at people to get off my lawn. I don't like games that are like overly goofy or overly fantastical and stuff like that. So, I'm at least more interested in this reboot than I was ever in any of the original games. I like Grand Theft Auto and, those type of games. And, this one just never really did it for me, but the reboot at least looks like it looks interesting. Now, it was a completely CGI trailer. We have no idea what the game's really going to look like yet. And we can judge more when we see more. They did have gameplay. I remember, I haven't seen that video. So you can watch that. Maybe I'll talk about it next week. Horizon Forbidden West got its release date for exclusively on PlayStation 5 and 4. It's released on both. It's February 18th, 2022. If you haven't, and if you're interested in games, which I assume you are if you're listening, I highly suggest to look at the release calendar for 2022. February so far is going to be hilarious because it looks like a bunch of big, big games are going to be releasing all in that month. And that can be exciting for gamers because, you know, lots of cool stuff coming out is really fun. For reviewers and stuff, it's probably going to be a nightmare because they will have to, review all those games. And there's never enough time, right? And even for gamers, too, especially if you have limited time to play. Probably not super exciting in that way, but it's still good stuff. So, I have really wanted to play that game on PC. They released on the original game on PC fairly recently. So what happens with me since I'm an Xbox guy, I still am interested in a lot of the PlayStation games. I just have no desire to buy a system and play them. So what I end up doing is a few weeks or whatever after the game comes out, I just take in all the lore videos that people make. So with The Last of Us, Horizon, God of War, all of those games, I know what those games are all about. I've watched, gameplay playthroughs and lore videos and cutscene compilations and Horizon has a really, really cool story. The gameplay looks so frenetic. I actually would have no desire to play that on console, on a controller, with the way that you need to precisely aim and stuff. Personally, I would much rather play that game on PC. So I do really want to play the OG on PC. And I assume eventually they'll put out Forbidden West on PC as well. What is interesting is I think that Forbidden West, from a lot of what they're talking about and what I've read and seen, it very much seems a game kind of like Miles Morales was for Spider-Man, where it's not really, especially because it's going to be on the PS4, it's not like a full next-gen jump game where it's like they scrapped the first game and they made the new one from scratch. It seems like it's just an upgraded version of the first game when it comes to engine and gameplay and things like that. So I'm not expecting, it looks great from what they've shown so far, but I suspect it's going to be very much a story of, a lot like the old game, but with a bunch of new stuff rather than being like an entirely new experience. But considering how well the first one was reviewed and how it's seen in hindsight, that's not a bad thing. Same with Spider-Man. It's a lot of people complained about Miles Morales being kind of just like an 8-hour like mini expansion or maybe a big expansion, depending on how you look at it. But the first game was extremely, extremely popular. And sometimes if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The next thing here is they showed a bunch of gameplay from Call of Duty Vanguard. It's like 15 minutes or something. It was a pretty big chunk of the beginning of the game. It looks like a Call of Duty game, and that's not a bad thing. I love the Call of Duty stories. They're very action movie-y. So looks interesting to me. Obviously, the Activision thing is going to make this much more complicated, especially for reviewers and content creators and stuff like that. I suspect most people will justify to themselves to go ahead and do it and play it and maybe like say something like, hey, I don't like the things they do, but I'm going to take their, sponsored stream and play it anyways. So we'll see how that plays out. It doesn't look like it's going to break any new ground. I personally have no interest to play a World War II game at this point. I love those games, but I'm good. I don't know. I'm good. I don't need Vanguard, but I may end up buying it. Probably not when it releases, maybe later. And they did show the opening gameplay for Forza Horizon 5. That game kind of stunned everyone at the Xbox show and the E3 in general earlier this summer. And it just looks really fun. I tried to play the other Horizon games. They just felt too like unfocused for me. Like it just seemed like you just drive around and then you turn it off. Like, I guess I didn't really fully understand the point of Horizon. This new one looks so good. And it looks like one of the first opportunities where if you have a Series X to really like fully push it to its limit and to really show what it can do. That's the beauty of Game Pass, is that it's a game that I wouldn't pay $60 for Horizon 5, but because I'm paying a subscription fee and I'm playing a bunch of these other games, and it's just another game I can throw on, and it just happens to be a AAA, very highly detailed, very well made experience, I'm going to jump into it, and I may love it. I may love this one. I think the issue with the old ones is I always play them like long after they were out, and it just always felt like I'd like missed that opportunity. I can't wait to play it. I'm excited to check that out. That comes out in the next, I think, 2 months. So there's that. Moving on from Gamescom, even though this was kind of in the same time frame, Destiny 2 put out quite a large announcement. So let me frame this appropriately. I'm not a Destiny 2 fan. I actually won it from Diabetic Steve back when it came out. I didn't plan on playing it, but because I won it through him, I ended up downloading it and playing it. I played it for a few weeks when it came out. I thought the base game story was just atrocious, and I really didn't like it at all. It was just really boring B-movie kind of stuff. And then I stopped playing it. And then when Forsaken came out, I bought that and played that as well and got like a little bit into it and then just dropped off. That game is weird to me. Destiny is a weird game for me because I could not care less about the story and the characters. And I know that they've done a lot better with that in the last couple of years. I just don't care. I just can't. It's too fantasy, too far in that direction for me. What bums me out about Destiny is that game, there's no game that's more fun to shoot things in, but the things that you shoot out couldn't be less fun to shoot. I like Division. I think Division has nice gunplay and the character movement and stuff is really good. But what I like the most is that, even the super easy to kill enemies still act in ways, for the most part, like it's fun getting flanked or charged and things like that. But in Destiny, I just feel like there's so many situations where you just look forward and there's just a horde of enemies jumping side to side or directly at you. And it's just, I don't know, I just can't get into it. That's me personally. But that said, Destiny is definitely a game where I can say it's not my cup of tea, but I respect it immensely. And it's because of how dedicated they've been to the game and how much they've done, this announcement included. So they announced a big new DLC called The Witch Queen that will come out in February and looks substantial. And from the videos I've seen on it and stuff from actual Destiny fans, seems like it's going to be like a big deal. Like it sounds like it's a pretty... It's going to be something extremely substantial. What they also announced was a new season, which was a smaller content drop that was available basically immediately after their announcement. So I can't really give a ton of perspective on what that means for Destiny and stuff like that. I watched SkillUp's video. I watched some other people. It seems like it's a big deal and that the community is really happy with it and that there's a lot of good stuff going on with Destiny 2. The perspective I can give on it is as a Division fan, a game that, at least in the eyes of the players, is supposed to be a competitor to Destiny. You'd be surprised how much the devs, or at least that some devs, don't feel the same. And where that comes from is the idea that Destiny is essentially meant to be played forever, and to have endless content, and it's supposed to be potentially, the only game you play. Where people expected that from Division, but you'll find that, at least my experience is, a lot of Division devs never intended for Division to be the only game you'd play. The intent was for you to play it and then finish it and then come back later for more stuff. But I kind of put out a tweet and some kind of thoughts of like how jealous I am of like if the Division got the kind of dedication and attention from Ubisoft, and I'm not talking about Massive or Red Storm or anyone, but from Ubisoft, because that's who would need to to green light it. It would just be so wild to see like how far they could have gone with storytelling and stuff and gameplay mechanics and things like that. If Ubisoft didn't essentially treat the game, in my opinion, like a kind of a second thought. I don't know. That's just my opinion. At the same time, the thing I even kind of clapped back at myself on when some people responded to that was, you know, Destiny is Bungie and Bungie is Destiny at this point. I know Bungie is working on another project that's supposed to be some kind of other type of game. We don't know anything about that. I would still be willing to bet that like 95% of Bungie is on Destiny 2. And The Division, it's not that type of game, and Ubisoft isn't that type of company. Ubisoft has hundreds of IPs under their name and you know, dozens of games in development at any given time. And as much as I would love, like, and not even Massive is like Bungie when it comes to Division. They they're working on multiple games themselves. They're working on three games that we know of, and there's probably more projects in the queue. We know they're working on Avatar, we know they're working on Star Wars, and we know that there's like a double A game, a smaller budget game that they're working on as well. And in theory, Division 2 also, because they're working on this DLC that has at least a few Massive people leading it. So I saw some other takes, some takes of this announcement from Destiny being embarrassing for Division and stuff. I think that's a lot of clickbait. I don't agree because of what I said before, because the Division is just another IP to Ubisoft. It's not their pride and joy. Like it or not, I wish it was. I think it has so much potential if it was, but it's not. The games that are their pride and joy, Rainbow Six Siege, Assassin's Creed, I would say those are the two games that Ubisoft from the outside appears to care about the most. Even they don't, I would say, get the same attention that Destiny 2 does. And that's the difference between a company who is their own publisher and the dev in one, getting to make all the calls and focus on one thing specifically, in Destiny, where the difference is with Division is that the Division is primarily made by a studio who's part of a bunch of other studios under a giant corporation who's also their publisher. And like, the thing that people need to realize is that like Massive, if Bungie wants to do a thing with Destiny, they do it. That's just it. Oh, we want to do a whole big new DLC called the Witch Queen or whatever. Okay, so they just do it because they're the ones in charge of themselves. This is the same situation with Warframe. Albeit not as popular as Destiny, but they're able to do whatever they want, essentially. Where Massive, with the Division, I wouldn't doubt if, you know, there's someone at Massive who's like, hey, I really would like to start making Division 3 or another big DLC like Warlords. And what happens there, though, is they don't just get to do that because they feel like it. They have to get permission from Ubisoft as their publisher and their owner. And I bet Ubisoft is like, no, you're going to work on Avatar and Star Wars, and we're going to have a Romanian studio do your DLC for Division 2. A couple of you can help. You know, I don't know that's exactly the conversations that have happened, but I'm willing to bet they are. So I think it's a weird take, probably a convenient take when I see things talking about like Destiny dunking on Division. I don't think Destiny thinks about Division. Like, Division's essentially done at this point. And even more content they put out for it, you know, isn't going to be meant to like bring people back for years. They're going to put out more content to probably wrap up Division 2. And then maybe one day we'll get Division 3. And probably not for a really long time. So it's like, it's almost saying that, like, I don't even know how to compare it. It's just like, just the comparison almost doesn't make sense, because Destiny almost doesn't have another game in its sphere. There's almost, you know, Warframe is the closest thing, and it's not nearly as popular, or at least not as well known, right? So I don't know. I'm really pumped for Destiny fans. I wish I could get into it. I just can't. But it's one of those situations where I'm sitting from the sidelines being like, I'm super happy for you guys. And I'm really happy that you get that dope content that's coming to you. And then I turn around with tears and like holding like a Division poster as the tears like fall onto it. So that's where we're at. Psychonauts 2 is the next thing. It came out. And so Psychonauts 2 has kind of a weird story if you don't know it. A lot of people, I think, are looking at it as like, oh, it's an Xbox game, right? Well, it's not. It's actually coming out on at least PlayStation and Xbox. I off the top of my head, I'm not sure about Switch and PC. So Double Fine, who makes it, right? I think so. Was an indie studio when they actually crowdsourced the money for Psychonauts 2 to begin development. And then what happened eventually is Xbox bought into them because they have an insane history and their dev team is extremely impressive. And they became an Xbox studio, but because they initially crowdfunded for it to be a multi-platform game, Xbox didn't like force them to only do Xbox, because that'd be really crappy for the hundreds of thousands of people who donated money who are on PlayStation or other platforms that they're going to put it on. That said, it is still an Xbox game, right? And it's doing extremely well. I haven't fired it up yet. I would like to. I've been trying to explore the lore of the first game a little bit, so I know what I'm getting into. I fired up the OG game once, and it just feels old. It feels too old. If I had played it back then, I would probably play it now, because I would know what to expect with how old it feels. But because I never played it before, it just feels a little too dated. So I would rather just learn about that game and then play the new one. I've literally seen people saying things along the lines of like, next to a Mario game, this is, you know, the one of the best platformer type games that you can play right now, which is, you know, insanely high praise, especially when a game like Ratchet and Clank just came out. Now you'll look at this game and it doesn't look like a next gen game. It looks like an early last gen game, but the graphics aren't really the point. It's the gameplay and the story is what people are praising. I'm sure that they would have loved to take 3 more years and make it look like, you know, like an insanely graphical, you know, like experience like Ratchet and Clank are. But instead, it seems like they just want to get this game out, and they're happy with where it's at. And from the reviews, it seems like the kind of old school graphics aren't hurting it. So definitely a game worth checking out, I think. Definitely a game I want to check out. And yeah, so hopefully I'll do that soon. I may do that on stream. That would be that'd be cool. Okay, so a real quick one, Art of Rally came out on Game Pass. It's a little weird, like, it's like an isometric racing game. It's hard to describe it. It's so fun. And the soundtrack is ridiculous. It's so good and so like energetic and just makes you really get into it. What it is, it's a rally game, like a rally racing game that I find extremely hard. The controls are super simple. You basically just have like accelerate, brake, handbrake, and that's about it. But like, it's just, It's neat. It's really, really cool. You kind of just need to check it out for yourself. So if you have Games Pass, or I think it's only like $20. If you have $20 you want to spend on a game that like is just very fun and lighthearted, check out Art of Rally. At least check out some videos on it. Okay, we're wrapping into our last couple of topics here. This one is, so I'm not really going to go into the details of it, but just to explain some tweets that may have been kind of weird this week that I put out. Long story short, the Ubisoft Star Players, which I was back in 2018, were requested to do a thing for Ubisoft. At first, it looked like it may not have been everyone, but now I think it was everyone. And I'm weird about it. I feel weird about doing it because, you know, Ubisoft is still being kind of weird about some of the allegations and things that got put out against them not too long ago, and maybe not really doing much kind of like they said they would. So I put out a call and said, hey, you know, to my other Star Players, you know, this is a time where I think we should thank devs and things like that. I think we can appreciate the developers and the studios within Ubisoft and, you know, that make these games that we like, right? But I also encourage people to, if they have that platform, to throw out a message and say, hey, but thank you, but also get your shit together, you know? And I know that there's other star players, specifically the Assassin's Sisterhood, kind of Assassin's Creed group that does a lot of stuff in that community, had a podcast, I guess, recently that Mab told me about, where they kind of addressed some of this stuff. But it has been kind of weird. Like, I don't know. Like, I got unfollowed by a few people who I was a star player with, you know, maybe for multiple reasons. I understand I'm a bit callous at times, maybe not, the easiest person to follow or whatever, but, it sure seems like it was very conveniently, happened around the same time that I put out this call asking people to maybe use this opportunity. It's weird. Like, I appreciate creators who try to have this air of like positivity and like happy go lucky, like everything's cool. But I also think that there's some like cowardice in that too. In that if you don't ever stand up for anything, you don't stand for anything, in my opinion. And if it's always about keeping the peace, and if it's always about stroking everyone's ego, and if it's always about continuing to suckle from the teat that gives you free game codes and stuff like that, I think that kind of sucks, if you want me to be honest. I understand that what's unique about the Star Player program is that not everyone who's a Star Player has a following. There's been people who have been in the program who are, you know, just big fans of a game and aren't particularly well known or anything like that. And so, you know, those people only have so much reach. But then there's others who I think really, I've seen, you know, from all the games and, you know, the entire Star Player kind of group that, you know, have, you know, followings and have opportunities to support, you know, like me calling this, you know, for people to do this thing. And then, you know, kind of the very loud silence that can come from that sometimes, I think, is really interesting, and it's kind of a bummer. I'm less than perfect. I probably haven't been as vocal about this stuff as I could be. But I just really, there's a weird lack of genuineness sometimes. And while, you know, for the most part, believe it or not, I keep my tongue pinched and don't say the things I wish I could say all the time, because, you know, of reasons. It was kind of a bummer to see some of the reaction to me making this request of others. And to see, like, I'm pretty sure that tweet has zero interactions, other like shares or likes on it from any other star players. It could be wrong, and I haven't looked at it in the last day or so, but it was very, very interesting. So we'll just keep waiting for those new games, I guess. Speaking of Ubisoft, it was kind of weird. I felt like that there was no like focused Ubisoft announcements during Gamescom. During Keeley's part, I believe they did. They did the story thing for Far Cry, which I don't care. That game's probably gonna be fun to play, and I'm sure I'll play it and do my thing with it. But I don't expect it to be like groundbreaking in any way. So okay, cool. Far Cry. It's the same stuff I feel like we've been seeing for months. The Riders Republic, they announced that it's going to be an open test for a few more days. I played this. I jumped into it for about an hour. It's fine. I was really excited about Riders Republic, and I don't like the controls. I think it feels awful in the hand when you're actually doing things. It's not like a sim, but it doesn't really feel like arcadey enough either. Like, it feels like it's like, I don't know. I'm struggling with it. I want to jump back in. I'm sure I'll play it again later, you know, when the full game comes out. But I wasn't super impressed by it. And I wasn't actually allowed to say this. The Riders Republic was NDA'd. But then when they put out the open test, that seems, in my opinion, to kill the NDA. So it's probably gonna be worth checking out. But otherwise, they didn't really do much, I feel like. And more than anything, for myself and probably, you know, at least most of the people who still listen to this podcast, there was no Division 2 or Heartland stuff, man. The Division 2, I don't know. I don't have a personal relationship with anyone who's still working on it, like a behind the scenes relationship. So I literally know nothing about what's happening. I can only say so much about Heartland, because I can't. I'm not allowed to. I think all I can say about Heartland is that I feel like I should know a lot more about what's going on, and I have no clue. I don't think I know anything more than anyone listening to this. So, I would like to think for both games, for whatever they're working on for, Division 2 and whatever Heartland is and what it's becoming. I hope that all the silence means that their eyes are down on the prize, working on it and getting it done, and not spending a bunch of time throwing out vague bullcrap to us like they have in previous years with the games. I hope it doesn't mean that there's like it's in trouble. I don't think so. I knowing who is involved in both of those projects, I suspect that it's fine, but it is weird that we've gone so long without any updates. So you would think they'd at least be dropping some concept art or something. I don't know. It's super weird, but I will still keep the faith. Until there's a reason not to, I guess. And we'll go from there. Okay, so I'm going to jump into some listener questions. The first one here is from Rogue Gold on Twitter. Says, what's your predictions for Division 2 and Heartland news going forward now that Gamescom has passed? So my assumption is, and there's been rumors, I believe, of an Ubisoft forward in September. They may drop some info there. That's where I would expect to see maybe Division 2 content talked about, maybe. Heartland, I think they'll do like their own event. I mean, it's a spinoff, but it's a new IP. It's a large project, I assume, being done by one of the more heralded studios under Ubisoft's reign or rule or whatever. So my guess is that we'll hear about Division 2 content at the next forward. I would also guess that Heartland will have its own announcement stream, is my guess. I don't know. I promise. I feel so free to talk about a lot of stuff right now because I know so little. I know nothing, essentially. So I can guess just like anyone else can at this point. And that's kind of where I'm at with that. So I'm surprised there was nothing at Gamescom. I suspect Division 2 will be next forward. I suspect Heartland will be around the same time, but its own big thing. I hope so, at least, because that's if it's going to be what it's supposed to be, in my opinion, it needs its own like thing. It shouldn't just be a 5-minute segment during the forward. That's just what I think. Dale Runkel asks, with the lack of cooperative play in Infinite at launch and the Forge mode, will it affect the sale of the game at launch? So I don't think so. And I was talking about this, I think, last week about how I don't think that the co-op thing, like, I had never heard of that. I've been a Halo fan since the first one. I play on PC, and then I play 2-3 and so on Xbox. And you know, the multiplayer is obviously, in my opinion, probably a bigger deal than the single player, but I didn't know that there was like a decent number of people who think of Halo as a co-op game, because the story doesn't even, like, it doesn't make sense for it to be a co-op game. You're Master Chief. It doesn't make sense if there's more than one, you know. Now, purely from a gameplay perspective, if people have always played the Halo games co-op, the single player, then obviously that's really cool. And I do feel bad for them that they won't have that experience for a few months until early next year. But I've never considered Halo a multiplayer, like a co-op single player game. So I feel bad for those people, I guess, but I don't think it's going to. I think you're looking at a pretty small percentage of players who will be put off by that. And then the Forge thing, I think, is kind of a similar thing. I know Forge is really big in the like making your own game modes and doing all that. But I'd be willing to bet that it's probably still a pretty small percentage of people who like if Forge and or the single player co-op percentage of the population that they made up was bigger than the multiplayer or the solo single players, we would have those modes and they would have cut out other stuff. So I think the fact that they've obviously prioritized the single player solo and the multiplayer, which is going to be free to play, keep that in mind as well. It's essentially going to be a separate game. It's pretty obvious that those must be the two most popular things. So I don't think it's going to significantly affect sales. It may slow it down a little bit, but you also have to, I'm wondering how many players of Halo are going to even pay for it. My assumption is that a really big number of people are going to play the multiplayer only, which is going to be free to play. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to have Game Pass. Or the people who do play the single player are going to be like me who have Game Pass. And they aren't going to pay $60 up front for it. They're going to pay, you know, $15 a month or whatever indefinitely for it. So recording sales numbers and stuff like that are going to get weird from here on out with Game Pass becoming so popular. Are we going to count every person who fires a game up as a sale on Games Pass? I don't know. So I think Halo is going to be fine. I think that the multiplayer looks like it's going to be done so well that they're going to pull back that part of the community. Like I said earlier about how it's kind of weird that we still don't have any gameplay really of the single player. That's obviously a little concerning. I think that we are going to run in. I think if the single player is good, it's not going to matter. If those reviews come out and the reviews for Halo Infinite are 9s and 10s and they are saying that the multiplayer is back to, you know, Halo 2 again or 3, and, you know, it's that great, and that the single player story, you know, this new look at it from an open world perspective, it still hits those beats, still hits the story beats, still pulls at the heartstrings, and you get those awesome hero moments where you're blowing everything up and flying around the map and punching everyone in the mouth. If those reviews come in, then the co-op single player and the Forge thing are just going to be icing on the cake later. So but if the single player sucks, then it could be a different story. Then it could be a big focus on, well, if I could have played this with my friends, I would have had more fun, or if I can make my own modes, then I would really enjoy it more, or whatever. So we'll have to see. I'm kind of curious both ways. Ron Schock on Twitter says, after Gamescom, what are you the most excited about and what are you most skeptical of? I'm the most excited about Halo, for sure. There's a bunch of other games I'm excited for too, but Halo is the one. That's the one I'm the most pumped for. Even though I'm a little skeptical because I'm worried that they haven't shown single player gameplay in a while. That's definitely what I'm the most excited for. The most skeptical of, absolutely, is Far Cry. It's Far Cry 6. I know that Far Cry doesn't really have to try that hard to satisfy people for the most part. If it's a nice 15-20 hour story and I can get through it and never think about it again, that's fine with me. If it breaks new ground and does stuff where I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing, that'll be really cool. I don't expect that. I expect it. I thought that's what was going to happen with Far Cry 5. I really thought that this whole timeline of, you know, the cult and all this stuff, I thought it was gonna be real edgy and real political and have some like real balls the way they were gonna tell the story and stuff, and it had none. It was good game. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun to play through, but I'll never play through it again, and I won't remember that game in 10 years, you know. So I'm still probably the most skeptical of Far Cry, but you know, it's one of those situations where I'd be very happy to be proven wrong. The final question here from Zeka, were you involved in the making of X Defiant? I follow some Call of Duty YouTubers who worked as consultants and I love them, so it got me super hyped. No, I was only as aware of X Defiant as anyone else was with the leaks and stuff like that. I've spoken to a few people behind the scenes with some interesting takes on that game. I'm still very confident that was meant to be a Division only game. Which is pretty, I think, pretty obvious by the fact that all of the starting maps that we know of right now were all Division. I think it's a real shame that they had to bring in other franchises to try to, I guess, just of the other franchises they brought in, you would think that they would bring in like Rainbow Six, like games that are more popular than the Division, right? I don't Splinter Cell is like such a dead franchise at this point. And if anything, the involvement of them is insulting to those fans. And then Breakpoint, like, I mean, that's like one of the few games that's less popular than The Division right now of the mainline Ubi games. So I don't know. I don't know what they were doing with all that, because instead of Splinter Cell and Ghost Recon, you could have had Shade Agents and Rogues and Hunters, and which they will probably put those in as factions later. But I don't know, like, X Defiant didn't need that. The other franchises, they had plenty to work from on their own, and it would have been way more interesting to me in that case. But instead, it's looks like this weird amalgamation of stuff that I don't care about, and I can't talk about. I played the beta or the test or whatever it was. We aren't allowed to talk about it, so I'm not going to give opinions on it. I don't know. That game's weird. I hope it does really well. It's probably just not going to be for me. I wasn't involved in any development, though. And those Call of Duty YouTubers must have some interesting NDAs, which they're larger names, so I'm sure they can negotiate their NDAs more. So they're allowed to talk about that stuff. But nope, I wasn't involved. So I have been involved in other stuff, but I can't talk about it yet. So hopefully one day I can. Can't wait. If you have your own questions or topics or whatever, feel free to, like I said before, put them in the YouTube comments, join Patreon. You can send them to me on there, or on Twitter. I always do a tweet saying, hey, if you have any questions or stuff for the podcast, leave them here and you can let me know there. That's at Von Diesel. For some content updates, I think I'm going to start releasing the show on Monday. I think that makes a little more sense for me. It gives me the whole weekend where I don't feel as pressured or feel as much of a time strain to get it done. I can just do it during the weekend at some point and then release it on Monday. Nice and easy. If I record it early enough in the weekend, I will throw it up on Patreon early. So if there's anyone who is a patron and you want to listen to it over the weekend, or like as soon as I put it out, you're able to. So you know, check that out, patreon.com/bondiesel. And then when or if or whatever Division 2 or Heartland news drops, I do want to start making videos about that stuff when it comes eventually, I hope. But otherwise, I'm not super motivated right now to do videos about other gaming news. If stuff pops up that I care about, I'll jump on and do it. But as for now, I'm probably going to hold off. So with getting back to some of the streaming and stuff, including this, I did record this podcast live on Twitch. We've got Psychonauts 2. I really do want to play a fresh playthrough of Division 2. I've actually only played through that story one time, so it would probably be kind of fun to go through that again. I have a better RAM and a better CPU in the PC now, so I can actually probably stream Tarkov without it looking like a slideshow, and some other games that I haven't touched yet, or I only touch briefly, like Death's Door and stuff like that. I would really like to stream, so keep an eye out for that. And then I'll put out another call. If you know anyone who's selling a 2070, 2080 Super, or a 3060 Ti or 3070 at a reasonable price, I'm willing to pay a small finder's fee. Let me know. I'm definitely curious to upgrade that, because then I can pretty much leave my PC alone for 2 or 3 years and be pretty happy with it. So yeah. So that's the show. I'm going to wrap this baby up. I'm recording live on, or you can find me at Von Diesel on Twitch, twitch.tv/Von Diesel, where I will do my gameplay streams as well. You can check out my Twitter at Von Diesel or at the EchoCast if you only want game announcements and EchoCast announcements. If you want some cool EchoCast or Von Diesel merch, check out streamlabs.com/Von Diesel. And that's all I have. So until next time. I'm gonna go